Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin, and she's a CVPM.
I guess. People don't really care anymore.
Yeah, well, it's more credentials than I have.
That's old news. January.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts on how they affect us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 116 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. Weather update.
Here we go.
Pop-up thunderstorms. Beautiful. We are broadcasting once again from beautifully green Lawrenceville, Georgia. I was thinking the last couple of days, this is about the greenest I've ever seen it around here.
Really?
The grass, the trees, the underbrush. Looking out on the side of the clinic next to the creek next door, it is just so overgrown. It's like a jungle.
I mean, I guess it is super green around here because, you know, we have our lawn serviced once a week, and it's on a Wednesday. And I was out there, I guess, on Saturday, and it looks like it needs to be mowed. Yeah, it looks like it needs to be cut for sure. So, absolutely, I guess I get your point that things are just green and luscious and growing around here.
And so, we are mid-July. Once we get mid-August, it will be a different story.
Yeah.
It will be summer heat, and we're going to probably be praying for rain. So, anyway,
we'll see. I still feel like this whole summer so far has not been super hot. I think we might have gotten the 90s like one day.
I would agree. Humid, but wet.
Humid,
and so,
humid for sure.
Yeah, the dog days of summer are going to be ahead of us. So, a couple of stories to talk about this week.
What does that mean, dog days of summer?
We've talked about that before.
Have we really?
The origin of that?
No.
The lazy dogs lay around underneath the shade of the tree or the pickup.
Is that what it comes from?
That's where my thoughts obviously went to immediately. And okay. So they're just lazy. They're laying around in the summer because it's so hot you can't do anything
else. They don't
want to
do anything else?
Yeah, that's the dog days of summer.
Okay.
The boys of summer, however, is a completely different story. What does that refer to?
Heck if I know.
Baseball. The Eagles, have you heard of them?
Did you know it's actually a time frame? The dog days
the
of summer?
The dog days of summer? Like years or a period of the year?
A period of the year. So according to Google, when you...
I'm going to say July and August.
It starts July 3rd, ends August 11th. Huh. Yeah, so to your point,
super hot time, yeah.
So again, according to Google, here's the Farmer's Almanac.
Almanac.
What is the difference?
Almond. Farmer's
okay,
Almanac.
Okay, tomato.
Exactly.
Okay, so the Farmer's Almanac. It's so funny because I can't actually say the two words
almanac.
Without like truly really thinking about it. But the phrase is actually a reference to the fact that during this time, the sun occupies the same region of the sky as Sirius, the brightest star visible from any part of Earth, and part of the constellation
Sirius Radio.
Canis Major.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So, they used to refer to this as, I don't even know.
Looks but, yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe something French.
Zodiac-wise.
Canicularis, dog days.
Well, I obviously have heard or read my explanation somewhere before, but was obviously
wrong. Your explanation definitely makes sense, though, as well, because who wants to be doing anything in the dead of the heat,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your dogs don't go out. I mean, if you had a yard dog, they're certainly not going to be out pacing the fence and running around and
doing all
these
things. Let's explain a yard dog. What's a yard dog?
Well, in my definition, it's a dog who is kind of roaming freely.
In the backyard.
In your yard, yeah.
Typically. Inside a fence.
Yeah.
Not chained to a tree or a zip line.
Correct. Which
but,
those tie-outs are actually illegal here in Georgia or in Gwinnett County.
The implication is it's a dog and it's just a dog. It is a yard dog.
That's not true. People really like their yard dogs, too.
Okay. So, expound. That's what I'm trying to kind of get into. Because I had a conversation yesterday with a client about kind of the evolution of dogs being... We've talked about this
brought
before.
Brought into the house and humanized.
Being, yes. Yeah. Working dogs, hunting dogs, protective dogs, to just, I'm going to say, just being a yard dog. And I totally get your point. A lot of people love their dogs that stay in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those peoples in the mid-90s But now we have humanized most of our pets actually to where they are absolute members of the family. So
Yeah.
it's just interesting to me that you say a yard dog
My
versus just a dog.
yeah, but my reference was more so like a dog that spends his time outside versus a dog. So if I'm gonna let my 80-pound dog outside and he usually is gonna stay in the air-conditioned house, he's definitely gonna go outside and run around in mid-90-degree weather. He's gonna try to chase the fence, he's gonna run after squirrels, chase birds, all that kind of thing. My thoughts or indication for saying yard dog was more so like a dog that's gonna hang out outside and have to
All day.
weather the heat. They're certainly not gonna be super active during the hottest points of the day, is my thought and theory.
No, I agree. I agree. One industry I'm glad I am not in now or really forever is the doghouse industry.
Yeah.
There's not many that are
Although
sold
there
these
are some
days.
really cute doghouses still, and
Yeah, but they're not very useful.
I do think people buy them. Have you seen any of the things on like Pinterest? I know your wife's on Pinterest.
Yeah, but not me.
Where people like actually do like fake or facades of doghouses underneath the stairs or something like that. They like cut a hole
Yeah,
in.
can be very elaborate. The problem is most dogs don't want to stay in their doghouse
But I
for the
know, but
most
I'm
part.
saying like these are like facades. It's made to look like a doghouse, but it's truly like a kennel or a room that the pet goes into.
Yeah. All right. Totally off topic. Not that we had a topic for this week, but I just want to kind of talk about locally what's going on with COVID or not COVID. Heard on the news today that the whole Delta variant, the cases are up, the numbers are climbing again, but that doesn't really mean anything to us or me. That is expected that they're going to wax and wane. But it's kind of exciting that locally and regionally, and I guess nationwide, concert venues and events are opening up, sporting events are open. The Olympics, right? They're going to have them in Tokyo, but they recently announced that there are going to be no or limited fans in attendance. So they're still going to be a little more conservative, and yet I saw some posts on the internet and social media this past week that like the Garth Brooks concert in Las Vegas at their new football arena completely sold out, maxed out to capacity. So I'm excited that everything is kind of opening back up. I am super disappointed locally that many of these venues and primarily restaurants are short of labor, right? So they don't have the workers there to service you as a consumer or customer. And while I understand it, it's not right. It's not an enjoyable experience when you go out to have a meal and it takes 2 hours to be set, served, and checked out. So that's just kind of my rant for.
So I would agree. I definitely think that there are, I don't know really how to explain it. So people felt like that their workforce was really short because of the additional income that people were getting from the government essentially for
Unemployment.
unemployment
Yep.
benefits, right? But that stopped in late June, and we haven't seen like a giant surge of people coming back into the industry or into any workforce really.
It's only been a month, and
But
so.
so my point here is that we use a scrub company out of Florida who,
Remains to
nameless for
be
sure,
nameless.
but we use them for our scrubs, and their turnaround time over the last 3 or 4 months has been awful. Now, current, like in the middle of the pandemic, it wasn't that bad. So now that the quote unquote pandemic is over, they are claiming that they don't have enough workforce to fill all their shifts and all of these things. And so their turnaround time is now probably 5 times what it used to be. And their explanation is that we just don't have people who want to work here. And I, as a consumer to their product, I
Yeah.
just don't find that that's a reasonable answer. And I don't know if they should have been super proactive and told people like, hey, if you order now, expect a, month and a half delay. And if that would have made me feel better, I really don't know. But like to
I think.
continue business as usual and then to come back after the fact and say, oh, you know what? This is all COVID's fault.
So yeah, they're blaming COVID and factors out of their control, but I'm going to say contrarily, everything is under your own control. It's your culture, it's your efforts. Yes, we struggle with it. I mean, as you know, we are continually hiring. We always are, but even more so during COVID. And so it is unacceptable, in my opinion, to blame poor client or customer service because of COVID and because of the fact that we don't have enough workers. And so that's what we...
I think the same thing about the restaurant industry is kind of where I was going with all of this.
So we preach this internally, right, during rounds. We talk about this a couple times a week. Like, you guys are so busy. I know you are. We appreciate your efforts. But our clients and our patients deserve to be taken care of. And if we don't take care of them, who will? And so, again, there's always these asterisks, these exceptions. But what do you think... I'm going to say the numbers, which is kind of the revenue, the number of transactions, and really the profitability of Chick-fil-A did during COVID. Did they thrive, or did they say, oh, we can't hire enough people and we can't change on the fly enough to service your needs, and so we're going to say, I'm sorry, sir, we can't serve you a Chick-fil-A sandwich because we don't have enough people today, or it's going to be an hour for your wait.
But even at that, when there was a quote-unquote chicken shortage mid-pandemic...
Never felt it from Chick-fil-A.
Exactly. You would never hear of it from these other places. So I somewhat do feel like it's a crutch, but I also do feel like it's a very real thing. So I think...
I totally agree with what you just said. It is real, but it needs to be seamless to the consumer as best you can. You have got to work your tail off on the backside as the business owner, staff member... you know, fill in the blank, whatever related to that, to make the experience good for the consumer. Otherwise, you're going to become irrelevant and people are going to go elsewhere.
For sure. So I think I talked about the article that was posted in the New York Times a couple months back, maybe like in March, in regards to how the pandemic and all these pandemic pets have kind of inundated the veterinary industry. So a couple days ago, actually 3 days ago, there was another...
Overwhelmed, maybe you're saying? Like they're just...
Yep, they
so
just
many.
Apparently don't feel like they can keep up and that kind of thing. So the Boston Globe actually 3 days ago published another article in same topics, I guess, in the sense that like veterinary practices, specifically, I think they're talking about ER hospitals, and more so, I mean, they're talking about all of them, but they're really talking about this area, up in like New England, Boston area, and about how the people of the practice are feeling and how they're affected and how it's really causing kind of fatigue and short tempers in their practice. And they do, like I said, blame it on, you know, more people getting pets and then obviously bringing them to the vet. I don't know what industry leaders think about what's going on, but why are we complaining that we have business?
I totally agree. The quote-unquote industry leaders, if they're preaching that message, that's really the wrong message. So
because this is not just
Do we want to show up to work and, like, have a cush job and not, again, provide service to our clients and the pets? It's a time to step up. We saw it in the restaurant industry, right? The delivery to, not only the delivery to homes, but the food delivery to businesses exploded, right? Amazon exploded.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. I mean, so you have to be dynamic and change with the times. And so, once again, you know, you and I talked earlier today about this, that sometimes we will have staff members that feel so overwhelmed and overworked because they had such a busy day and they want to take the next day off. And I'm like, I understand that, but what you just told me is you're on the borderline of being overwhelmed, and maybe you are, but now we're gonna reduce our staffage and we're gonna overwhelm our current staff even more. And so that's not great teamwork, in my opinion. But
There is a fine line and a balance, right? So like there's this self-care and this personal well-being, but then there's also, to your point, kind of servicing our community and then taking care of each other here in the practice.
We don't want to burn out. We need to have that work-life balance, but we also need to be able to step up and try to figure out how do we attract more staff members, how do we train them better so that we're taking some of the workload off of us, and how do we continue to grow and provide service to our community. So preaching is over on that.
You digress.
For my part.
Do you remember you used to say that a lot? I digress.
I don't say it much anymore. It's old. It's old news, fake news, fake news.
You never digressed.
So
it was just not on air.
I want to talk about an article that came out in the Vet Times. And the article itself is kind of interesting, but really the whole disease process and how we think about things and what can happen is even more interesting to me. And so this article is about Thalesia calipeta.
I've never heard of such.
Also known as the Oriental eye worm. I'm shifting through my pages of notes here. Thalesia is a rare parasite that is often found in Asian countries. And this article talks about a veterinarian, Dr. Chris Dixon, I believe. Yes, Dr. Chris Dixon, who was kind of warning about the dangers of exotic communicable diseases coming into the UK. And all of a sudden, he stumbled upon, I don't know if he stumbled upon it, but he found this Labrador retriever that came in from Serbia to the UK, had an ocular problem, and upon exam, they found a larval worm inside this dog's eye.
Hmm.
And so my thoughts immediately go to heartworm disease and the picture of the human child with an aberrant larval migrans, a larva where it's not supposed to
be
inside.
Is that usually heartworm?
Eye.
I thought it was roundworm that picture was super famous for.
So I think you're right. It probably is roundworm.
It's the same kid from like 1966.
But heartworm larvae can do the same thing. They can show up where they're not supposed to.
Sure.
And so this article really, praises Dr. Dixon, and I would do the same thing because he was kind of foreseeing what's going to happen. And the big point here is he's saying, let's be super careful with diseases coming into our country because this is a disease that I believe is endogenous to these Asian countries. But in the UK and the US, it's not been eradicated because it's never been here, but we're mm-hmm. trying to keep it from being here. So,
how do they suspect that this specific parasite got into the UK? So the reason I'm saying this is because on the episode that you were not here for, I talked about how there's a ban on pets, dogs specifically, being transferred in or imported in from other countries to the United States, mostly because their documents have been falsified. But I wonder if other countries are kind of feeling the same pressure with the pandemic and the rise in people owning pets, if that has something to do with it there as well.
Long story short, I don't know. The article didn't go into that, and that was not the focus of this article. I'm not sure what the import-export requirements are in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strict, I would think. So this does speak to that aspect, right,
yeah.
about why we do that. Me coming back from Belize 2 weeks ago, one of the big reasons you go through customs is for communicable diseases or introducing diseases into your country that you return to from the country you visited. And one of the big ways that happens is through fruit flies
mm-hmm.
and vegetables and food stuff, if you will.
Right.
So they always, I say, like I've been out of the country maybe 5 times, but when you come back through customs, they're going to ask you, oh, where did you go? Oh, we were in Belize. Oh, did you have fun? Oh, yes, thank you for asking. It was great. Do you have any agricultural products, this, that, or the other? And the answer is no, and they let you back in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that is another huge way to prevent these types of diseases from getting into your country. So do you know what off the top of your head in small animal or livestock industry, what are some diseases, we talked about this maybe 3 weeks ago, that we consider have been eradicated in small animals or livestock?
So again, on the episode that I was talking about, canine rabies.
Rabies. Yep.
In so canines specifically.
Still so. In our area, but the numbers are so low in domesticated animals
mm-hmm.
through vaccination and preventative measures.
Right.
I.e. veterinarians are supposed to administer the vaccine. You can't go get it at a farm supply store.
Right.
So we feel like it's eradicated in the U.S. rabies.
Right.
Anything else?
I mean, I don't know about systemically in the whole entire United States, but I feel like in our area specifically, like distemper, canine distemper is something that we have actually started seeing it again, but for a long time it was something you...
I don't know if it is considered an eradicated disease, but we certainly do not see it.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Tuberculosis in cattle.
Okay, in cattle, I was going to say in people, really?
Tuberculosis, we used to do skin testing on all these registered herds, certify that they were negative and they were okay to breed. Brucellosis, another cattle disease. Screwworm.
So only in these species, right? So like brucellosis can still be found in
dogs. We will see it, you know, extremely rare in humans, but can be transmitted to them. So, that's kind of where I was going with my thoughts when I read this article. What have we done in the U.S.? Why are we trying to keep these diseases out of the country? But then I went back and researched this Thalassia species because I knew I'd heard about it in vet school. And in vet school, primarily in parasitology, you will hear and learn about a lot of diseases from other countries. And so... remember, what, a year and a half ago, one of the rescue organizations brought a dog or dogs in from Egypt and from some other Middle Eastern countries.
Yes.
And some of the vet schools in the region started diagnosing some of these weird diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Thalassia is one of those diseases, and I sent Rhonda, our marketing guru, a link to post to show the life cycle of this parasite, because it's quite fascinating, actually. So, Thalassia is actually primarily a disease of canines, so dog species, are the natural host, and this particular organism presents in the form of a larva or a little worm that typically gets in the conjunctival sac of the eye, so not inside the globe of the eye, but between the eyelid and the globe. And what happens is the L1 larva is developed in that conjunctival sac, and then a fruit fly comes and feeds off the lacrimal secretions, or the tears, ingests this larva. The larva goes through an L2 into an infective L3 stage inside the fruit fly, and then this fly goes back to a similar or same host, feeds again on the tears, and during that process, it will release or lay these infective L3 larvae into the eye or the conjunctival sac, and then that is where they will become adults, and then these Thalassia organisms will produce offspring that attach to the larva and are deposited in the conjunctival sac. So Rhonda's going to post this whole CDC life cycle thing. That's a little bit confusing, I know. But does that life cycle remind you of any other problem, parasite that we deal with in veterinary medicine every day, especially in the Southeast?
Heartworm?
Exactly. Different...
but similar.
Animals, but extremely similar. L1 larva, mosquito takes a blood meal, it transfers into an L3 larva inside the mosquito, goes back, bites another host, injects that larva, and again, a little different. The larva migrates through the body to become an infective adult inside the heart. So, super cool. So anyway, back to the dog story in the UK that had the larva in its eye. That is an abnormal location for this worm to be.
Yes.
But this worm can be transmitted to humans, and it can get in the 2-hour conjunctival sac, or potentially could get into the globe of our eye as well. And so whenever a parasite, and maybe a bacteria, but a parasite is where I go to, winds up in the wrong location, the word of the week is called aberrant.
So is that what aberrant means, really, when it's in the wrong location?
Yeah, not following the routine, not playing by the rules, not reading the book, showing up where you're not supposed to. So aberrant host or location means not really where it's supposed to be.
I thought more like aberrant meant like it was kind of dead end.
No. I mean, so, they are dead end because the transmission process is not complete. But
like in your life cycle here, when it goes into a human, it's because it kind of dies
host.
And it's dead end, so it's aberrant.
Yeah.
Whereas like the dog is the definitive host, and mm-hmm. then where is the intermediate?
But
the
we're not talking about aberrant host. We're talking about aberrant transmission. So again, it's just kind of out of the ordinary is what aberrant means.
Okay.
You're going to have to trust me on this. I'll look it up.
I'll trust you, but I thought we were talking about aberrant host or whatever. So if it gets in the human's eye, is that aberrant?
It's an aberrant location.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe you.
Yeah. So anyway, super cool. Check that out. Maybe it's kind of geeky. Maybe it's not. But it is very interesting how these things happen with some of these life cycles. So my last story.
Okay.
And then evidently I have to go move my truck so somebody can leave work tonight. We talked about 4th of July fireworks, and we've talked about thunder and how that upsets our domesticated animals.
Right.
I didn't even consider how fireworks affect wildlife until
I read
this article.
You've never considered it?
No.
Aw. Definitely there are always those like posts and memes that kind of go through social media. They talk about, you know, like, be respectful of your past military who might have like PTSD of all these like loud noises and booms and bangs and stuff. And then obviously be thoughtful of your neighbors with small children, be thoughtful of your neighbors with pets who might not like it. And then there's always this little squirrel kind of holding his head down and covering his ears that also says like, consider your wildlife.
It makes sense. I mean, we oftentimes somewhat displace wildlife by building neighborhoods where I'm not going to say where they're not supposed to be, but where the wildlife did not anticipate them coming in.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And so, I don't know. It just, this story talked about a fox that ran into the grill of a car somehow. I didn't really read it that deeply, but it injured itself because it was suspected that it was running away from fireworks.
Mm.
So that is something just for us to be cognizant of. And as you said earlier, I mean, we worry about our pets. We sometimes do, sometimes don't worry about our neighbors and what's going on with them. And mm-hmm. we're not very respectful. But, I think before you start shooting bottle rockets off into the tree canopy, maybe you should consider who and what are up there and what it might do to them.
So speaking of wildlife, did I tell you the other day that there was a black bear in my parents' front yard?
You did, but you didn't share much more than that. So,
well, there's not a whole lot more to share. I mean, they didn't go out and shake its hand. But my sister was leaving my parents' house, and so her car was like, you know, distance away from the front door. And my mom started yelling at her, get back in here, get back in here. There's a bear, there's a bear.
Oh, gosh.
My sister said she couldn't understand really everything that was coming out of my mom's mouth. But
sounds like she saw a snake in a
water
pool. Yes,
so
yeah.
She thought it was a snake for sure. So my sister like took off, ran back to the house. And then when they turned around, there was a black bear in the front yard. And so my sister and my mom are basically like, she was right there. If she had kept going, I mean, she and the bear would have been toe-to-toe.
It's crazy.
Every
couple of years, we hear about some of the black bears coming down from the North Georgia mountains and making their way into our area.
Yeah, but I was thinking, because obviously this is like, it was after 4th of July, so I don't know if he got startled from somewhere or why. Maybe he was in the area. But I do think on next door, he was also seen, you know, in other neighborhoods nearby.
Real quick before we finish, what are some of the common wildlife that we have in our area that we see? Maybe we don't see. We know they're there. Just start naming them off. So black bear.
Rabbits.
Rabbits.
So cottontails, essentially, right?
Mainly cottontails. Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
So deer. Coyotes.
Red-tailed hawks.
Red-tailed hawks.
Coyotes, let's go back to that. Very frequent in this area.
For sure. If you've ever heard, I don't even know, I guess a pack of wild coyotes, and they cackle at night. It sounds like a bunch of kids screaming and playing in the woods. It's so terrifying.
Owls.
Owls, yep. Obviously, all the birds.
Snakes, all the moles, voles, all of that.
Yep.
Chipmunks, the tons of squirrels. But
skinks,
I think bears are probably
the lizards,
the biggest.
The blue-tailed skinks, the five-striped blue-tailed skinks. I actually read a little bit about those yesterday. They're from Australia, but I thought it was interesting. My cousins are in town from Michigan, and I don't know that they get a lot of like wildlife and stuff, but they found like a little skink nest, and it had like 6 eggs laid there.
Huh.
And they were massive. I don't even know how the skink passed an egg that size, but there were 6 of them.
All right. Question.
Oh, gosh. Are you going to tell me that they don't pass eggs?
No, I don't know. That is news to me. Snails. Do snails lay eggs?
I don't know.
So, in Belize, on this little island out in the middle of nowhere, this little girl comes up to me and says, "Excuse me, mister, do snails lay eggs?" I'm like, I'm a veterinarian.
I would assume they're asexual.
I should know that, right? And I said, "I don't really know why." And she says, "Well, it looks like they're laying eggs to me." She's got 2 little snails in her hand, and they're creeping forward, and all these little black dots are coming out.
Oh,
and
gross.
So I don't know if it was poop or eggs, but that'll be a Dr. Reese question. I said, "Well, it looks like you're smarter than I am, so it looks like they're laying eggs." But that was crazy. Like, I mean, who would even think about do snails lay eggs or not? So
I don't know, but if it's crawling on her hand, that kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, because snails are kind of gross anyways. And slugs, like, we don't really... When I was a kid, I used to find slugs everywhere.
They're nasty.
They are so gross. But anyways, back to your wildlife story. There's quite a few wildlife in this area. There's probably quite a bit that we're missing as well. But thankfully, I think a coyote, a deer,
all the birds,
and a
possums,
black bear, those are kind of the
beavers
biggest.
Beavers we have around here.
But we don't have anything massive, you know.
No wolverines. I think the black bear is the biggest creature we have. So.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Sign us out.
All right, guys.
You would.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Make sure to check out our Facebook, our Instagram, and our Twitter. Please do hit subscribe. This is being butchered, I know, but hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.